Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For darkness shall cover over the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. In our Hebrew scripture, the prophet, darkness recalls a time of exile when the people of Israel had been hauled off in captivity and when the very center of their religious life, the temple, had been destroyed. And now in this 60th chapter, in this latter part of the prophet Isaiah's writing, perhaps he is referring to the chaos that existed in society after the people had returned home, and now everything seemed to be in flux and in chaos. Darkness was a time of fear and hopelessness. It was a time of deep darkness that harkened back to what existed before creation, before the light shined, before light manifest itself, before things took shape. At its worst, darkness was a deadly time in which fear and the fear of death ruled hearts and social structures. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." For the people, our prophet says, there is a promise of salvation. The brightness of God will arise upon you and will appear over you. This light of God is an image, but it's also a promise, a hope, and a gift of peace and security. The light of God will not be a time of fear or a time of struggle and war with other nations. Fear and the fear of death will not rule in people's hearts, nor in the hearts of the social structures that guide us. In fact, in this prophecy, it says that the nations will come peacefully to this light. People will come from far away and gather together to be part of the very community of peace. Then you shall see and be radiant. All sorts of abundance. I think the little script in our above this lesson says that the profits of international trade, wealth, multitudes, gold shall come. But that's not really the wealth that the prophet is speaking of. These are only images that proclaim God's praise of a greater light, God's peace, God's welcome to all the nations. This is the true wealth that will gather. So light and darkness, these images flow throughout Scripture, from the very creation story itself, when light creates the world. Down through the prophets like Isaiah, and then into the Gospels themselves, we remember the lesson we read on Christmas Day about the light being created and the darkness not overcoming it. It is an enduring image which we experience also in our own lives. For we have all had experiences of darkness, even deep darkness that descends over us. It may come as tragedy, illness, failure, or loss, especially loss of loved ones. Darkness can come over us as depression. Darkness comes sometimes as personal realization of our own narrow-mindedness, or ways that we have failed one another or failed society, and finally, ways that we have failed God and have served darkness, when God does not appear to be present to us. Darkness also descends upon us in our social and political structures, just as it did in the political and social structures of Israel. Darkness in society comes with fear and hopelessness, which often translates into people or governments demonizing others, kind of laying a layer of darkness over others, casting darkness over other folks so that they are not perceived as fellow human beings. In our gospel lesson this day, Herod strikes me as a prime example of what fear in political leadership leads to. When he hears that Jesus, the star of the world, is born, he is frightened because he only lives by his own light. He is frightened that other light might challenge him. And notice that fear is infectious. It says, all Jerusalem is fearful with him. Darkness descends and spreads. Rule by fear leads to deadly consequences, and we know that in Herod's heart, he's not going to be going to pay homage to Jesus. He has another motive for finding the child. And we also know that innocent children will die by his rule. It's interesting to compare this light and darkness imagery. If we compare what's going on in Herod's Jerusalem with Isaiah's vision of Jerusalem being a point of light which enlightens the whole world, and now in Herod's rule and realm, all Jerusalem has become fearful. I find it a chilling, and prophetic, and apt comparison with respect to the darkness of our nation's current rule. Are we a point of light in the world, or are we all fearful following our leadership? We might ask, what is the wealth of the nation? The true wealth in Isaiah is people coming to Jerusalem, looking to, seeing Israel as a place of peace and security. Wealth was people coming in hope. We must also ask, what is our true wealth as a nation? Deals for more fighter planes? Are people coming to our borders in hope for life and light? Is it their arrival that makes us a wealthy nation, or have they come to take our wealth? Herod was fearful that the child was shining and would outshine him. Are we fearful that the innocent children are shining at our borders? The theme of light and darkness is always playing out in our hearts and in our historical reality. And it is why the Christ has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, that the light of God's peace and care might rule in our hearts and in history, in the world. The promise that Isaiah announces is made manifest. It is incarnate in Jesus the Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it, says the Gospel of John. It is God's epiphany that we might see and ourselves shine. The mystery is revealed, writes the author of the letter to the Ephesians. That revelation, that epiphany, is that we are all members of one body. We all share in the promise and light of the Holy Child. No longer are we a society of clans, fearful of others, intent and fighting to be a pure culture, read in our case, white. So that the church, this astounding lesson in this Ephesians letter, I'm quoting, so that the church, in the wisdom of God, in its rich variety, might be made known to rulers, to the whole world. And then it says, this is God's eternal purpose. Peace in our hearts, peace in the world, peace with God. This mystery is revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The darkness which we experience and the darkness which we cause is taken to the cross. Jesus bears the darkness, but the darkness does not overcome it. The resurrection announces forgiveness and the light of life, even life eternal. This is God's eternal purpose. In the deep darkness of our own fears and experience, God in Christ Jesus promises to be with us always and empowers and calls and sends us to be with others. We are not called to be Republicans or Democrats or take any other political point of view that you would like. Take your pick on that, or even any religious denomination. But the prophet says, arise, shine. This is what we are called to. This is a resurrection message of new life. Shine with the love of God and Christ in you. We are called to arise, shine. Our risen nature is always linked with shining upon others. Lift up your eyes. Look around, says the prophet. People are always coming to us. People are always coming to you in hope, in need, praying for life and light as individuals, as a people, for hope, for light, for life. This is our calling. This is our purpose in accordance with God's eternal purpose in the light of Christ. Amen.
Rise.